ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Yeah, put all these mridangas and kartals away, not just sitting in the middle of the room. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shaktiputra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamurupurim Maturim Boshtapatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natasmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishnaka Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 616, Sri Vibhavana. Sri means Lakshmi or Radha. And Bhavana has various meanings, such as that which brings into being, that which is deliberated upon, or deliberation, self-perception, and vi as a prefix can mean to emphasize it more or to negate it. Now, of course, another meaning of Shri is beauty or opulence. In Vedic culture, we understand that everything is personal. So there's wealth, there's a goddess of wealth. There is fame, there's a goddess of fame. There is the river Ganga, there's the goddess Ganga. Of course, not everything's goddesses. There are male gods also. So in this way, Sri Vibhavana can mean he who brings into being or manifests all beauty and opulence. As we know from Bhagavad Gita, what's the verse in this regard? End of the 10th chapter, I'll give a clue. 3, 2, 1, 0, no one. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimad urjitam evava. Tattadeva vagach. What was it? Anyone? No one knows it, no? Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava. Tattadeva vagach. I forgot the third line somehow or other. Old age, I can blame it on. Mama tejangsa sambhavam. Sambhavam, bringing into being Vibhavana. So, whatever, as Krishna says, whatever vibhutis you see in this world, whatever beauty or opulence you see in this world, that manifests from just a tiny spark of my unlimited opulence and beauty, he says. So this is the meaning that Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan gives. whenever you see anything beautiful, know that it's just a small manifestation of Krishna. The Sri is a name for Lakshmi, and therefore we find throughout India, girls given the name of, is quite a common name, Sri Devi, named after the original Sri. And the most famous Sri Devi in modern India was a film actress who recently died. She was very popular, no doubt, because of her Sri, her beauty. I guess that must be the reason. If you showed me a photo, I wouldn't know what she looked like, but if you gave me 10 photos and one of them was hers, I wouldn't have a clue which one is hers, but unless the other 9 were all exceptionally ugly, and then I could guess. So she had some manifestation of beauty by which she became very popular. But after all, that beauty is the beauty of skin and bones and blood and flesh and marrow and stool and urine. Beauty of stool? What's the beauty of stool? Well, it's all in there. Presumably Sri Devi was passing stool every day until she kicked the bucket, as they say. She died. So it's a mistake to think that there's anything of any real value in this world at all. And if we do think of something in this world as being very great or attractive, we should always remember that it's only a tiny, tiny representation of the actual beauty and opulence and wealth and fame and all other attractive qualities that are naturally part and parcel of Krishna. Not only is it a very small representation, but it's also a perverted reflection of the real thing. There's nothing really real in this world. Nothing of any real substance. It's all temporary. Just all temporary means just like Sri Devi, she was so beautiful, so popular. Now she's somewhere else, not in that body anymore. So it's real, but not really real. Just like if someone offers you, here's 1,000 rupees. Okay, and then immediately take it back. Okay, so I had 1,000 rupees, but then you didn't have it anymore. So it doesn't last. It's like a mirage. Another word for mirage? Telugu, yeah. Okay, you can tell him. I can't remember the Sanskrit word. I did know it, but I can't remember it just now. Probably that would work in Telugu also, the Sanskrit word. But I can't remember it. So, yeah, so it's real in one sense, but it's just a reflection. And in the hot weather, which has, as you can note, has already begun here in Telangana, there's little relief at night. After a few weeks, there won't be any relief, even at night. So on the flat road, you'll see water. But if you go toward that water, you'll find it's not there, or it's always a little bit ahead. It's not real water at all. So you can say it's real, there's something there, but it's not. You can't drink it. Or just like my knowing the Sanskrit word for mirage means the Bengali word for. So I know. Do I know it? Do I not know it? Well, yeah, kind of. Not really well enough that it just jumps off my tongue. But in spiritual reality, everything is real in the realist sense. So we're discussing he who brings into being all wealth and fame and knowledge and all good qualities and even all bad qualities. Sada Satchaha Marjuna, Krishna says, I am everything that's good and everything that's bad also. It all originates in Krishna. So everything originates in Krishna, but especially this name is concerned with his manifestation of Sri, all that is good. As I learned in school, one hymn, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. That's true. But he also made all things dull and ugly. He makes everything. It's not. I was on a train once going from Bombay to somewhere in Gujarat, and there was a nun, Christian nun, not a big roti. A Christian nun. And she was saying, oh yeah, God is so great. He made so many nice things for us to enjoy in this world. Well, yeah, a silly kind of theology, because basically this world is miserable. And the idea that God gave us this world to enjoy it is also miserable. It's not enjoyable. In one sense, he gave it to us to enjoy, because we wanted to enjoy. So there's a sense of enjoyment. But that sense of enjoyment binds us to the suffering of this world. So a better understanding is that Krishna comes to this world to manifest the actual Sri, the actual glory of the spiritual world. Then another meaning, that brings, I've been talking about the Sri, the beauty, opulence, this is all impersonal in one sense, but it's only impersonal because we don't see the personality behind it. And she's not impersonal, but it's a manifestation of the person. So all beauty, opulence, strength, well, they're all Sri, so they all originate, or they're all overseen by, or they're all non-different from, in one sense, from Lakshmi, Radha. So what does his name mean then? He who brings into being Lakshmi. What's the directly personal meaning? Well, maybe you could say that. But the way that the acharyas, Sri Vaishnava acharyas, explain this is a more intimate or insider, antaranga, view of reality. How can we understand reality? We have to understand from Krishna, who manifests everything. So, all the greatness of Krishna is because of Radha. She's oversees everything, or you can say Vishnu, Lakshmi, because she is the very form of beauty, and especially Sri means beauty and opulence. But then opulence includes Aishvarya, the exact word. It includes all strength, all wealth, all knowledge, includes everything else, actually. And beauty is sometimes mentioned separately, because that is the feature of the Supreme Lord, that the devotees, their particularly attracted to in the Abrahamic religions, that means Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They're more attracted to the power of God, especially the punishing power. Here's another song I learned in school. I shall smite them ad infinitum. I don't think you can follow that very easily. But translated into, or said in more easily understandable English, means I will unlimitedly punish them. This is the idea of God. So, that may be there. Asuring yonam apanam. What's the next line? Mudha janmani janmani. Mama praipriyeva. Kunteya. Tato. Then they go down. Tato dham. I can't remember. I think I need to take some Shankar Pushpi. You know, that's supposed to be good for memory. Anyway, Krishna says, those who are envious and mischievous, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation, I throw them into the lower species of life, life after life. Lower species, life after life. So, okay. That's one manifest. But we, the devotees, the Vaishnavas, they're more interested in the beauty of Krishna. The beauty of his form, the beauty of his pastimes, beauty of his love, and the beauty of his beautiful Radha. We're interested, not as a materialist is interested in the beauty of some film actress like Sridevi, but we're interested to serve them and praise them and see how beautiful is Radha. The devotee sees not in the mood of envy of Radha's beauty, or not in the mood of wanting to enjoy that beauty, but, oh, how beautiful. Then how Krishna will enjoy so much with her. Krishna will enjoy. And Krishna's enjoyment of her beauty also, that should not be misunderstood to be that, like the lusty materialist lusts after a young woman. Not like that at all. It seems similar, because what goes on in this world is a perverted reflection of the pure love between Radha and Krishna. So she is the one who has all opulence. She is the very goddess, the very form of all opulence. And he is the supreme powerful. She is the supreme Shakti. That Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. But then what is the meaning? We say God's all powerful, but what is the meaning of powerful without power? It's meaningless. A powerless, powerful person. It's a ridiculous statement. I guess you could imagine some kind of situation where someone is powerful in one way and powerless in another way. He's very powerful physically, but he's tied up. So you could say a powerless, powerful person. Something like that, you could imagine. But anyway, who's all powerful, then his power is Lakshmi, Radha. So she is his power. So in that sense, his greatness, his opulence, it all rests in Radha, not directly in himself. But at the same time, they are the same person in another sense. I have that. Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti, Mandui Bastu Bed Nahi, Shastra Paraman. So there's no difference between them. In the sense, they're inseparable. There's no meaning to Krishna without Radha. There's no meaning to Radha without Krishna. So this is something simply to be appreciated by the devotees. It's not explainable by mundane logic. You can, some kind of example can be given, just like the power and the powerhouse, the sun and the sunshine, something like that. They're the same in one sense, but different also. But really, it's something just to be accepted, that's all. Just, all right, we heard it, we accepted it, and there's no point to argue over it. Why should we argue? Who are we going to argue with? With materialists? Well, they don't even believe in Krishna and Radha anyway, so what's the point of arguing with them? So it's just something to be accepted. He who owes nothing to anyone, he gives everything to everyone, but he himself owes his greatness to Lakshmi. Then another meaning, this is given by Sri Shankaracharya in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama, that he who gives everyone, he brings into being beauty, opulence. So whoever has got beauty and opulence, they get it from him. He brings the beauty and opulence into being. And of course, that's according to their karma. Karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhajam. He ordains everyone's karma. Kintuja bhakti bhajam. But those who worship him, then they don't have any karmic reactions. But they have the beauty and opulence of bhakti bestowed upon them. So he bestows everyone's greatness upon them, according to their karma. Yes, Trindra Gopa Mata Vindra Maho Swakarma Bandhana Rupa Mata Fala Bhajana Mata Noti Karmani Nirdahati Kintuja Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. If one is as powerful as Indra, or as insignificant as another kind. Indra means who? The king of heaven. Indra also means there's one little tiny insect called Indra. So that's also called Indra. So between Indra and the Indra Gop, which Indra Gop is the name of that little bug, and all other living beings, they get the results of their karmic reactions. It's all overseen by him. So someone's Indra, they have a lot of opulence. But it all rests in Krishna. It all comes, it's manifested by him. Not that they have it independently. Then another meaning is, he brings into being Lakshmi or Radha. So what does that mean? How can he bring her into being when she always exists? Well, here in this miserable material world, where we give so much importance to some film actress instead of Radha, instead of the real Sri Devi, some imitation Sri Devi, he makes her known, he manifests her in the minds of those who otherwise wouldn't know her. This is particularly true of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Krishna himself doesn't, in Krishna avatar, he doesn't broadcast the glories of Radha directly by the pastimes he does. And that's later glorified by great acharyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many things he gave us. Unutujvala rasam svabhakti shriyam. He's particularly noted for his giving the topmost resplendent mellow of pure devotional service to himself. That's in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's noted as such. But his very dear associate, Basu Ghosh, has glorified him particularly in this way, even more specifically. Jodi gaurana hoito tabe ki hoito kemane dharitam de radhar mahima prema rasa shima jagate janatoke. Basu Ghosh says that if Gaura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hadn't come, if he hadn't manifested himself, what would have happened? How could we have lived? How could we have maintained our bodies? Because it's he who made the glories of Radha, which are the ultimate limit of prema ras. He made them known to the world. Who else but he could have done that? So he makes her glories known to everyone. And of course, yeah, by his pastimes, as recorded in Shastra, how Narayan is with Lakshmi. Radha's name is not mentioned in Bhagavatam, but the pastimes of how Krishna, he took Rukmini away as she was about to be married to Shishupal. Then he married, who's the second queen? Satyabhama. No, wrong. Everyone always thinks Satyabhama, but chronologically it's Jambavati. But Satyabhama pushed herself somehow or other up to number two position. Is she number two? Don't tell her that. As far as she's concerned, she's number one. You better, she's an angry lady, you know. You better not insult her. Don't even think of it. You get in a lot of trouble. Even Krishna gets in trouble with her. Some parijata flower given to Radha, and then Krishna has to take a whole tree and fight with Indra because of Satyabhama. When he went off to fight, where was that? That Bhumasura. You don't take your wife out on a battlefield, but she must have harassed him or something. She was also there on the back of Garuda. So there you are. Number three is Satyabhama, number two is Jambavati. Chronologically, he married Jambavati, who is the daughter of Jambavan, and then came back, and then Satrajit gave Satyabhama along with his Samantaka jewel, then Krishna married her, and it went on like this. How he married Kalindi and Bhadra and Mitravinda and Satya, Nagnajiti, and Lakshmana, and then another, how many more other queens? 16,100. It's often mentioned 16,000. It's a rough figure. 16,100. Among the whom the foremost number one was? Rukmini? No, 16,100. Having a Krishna book quiz here. Rohini, her name is Rohini, same as the mother of Balaram. Same name. So that's all the pastimes are given there. So, Shrinu, Sukadam, Shubadam, Bhavasam, in this material world, which is, after all, miserable and inauspicious, we can get all happiness and auspiciousness by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and how he won the hands of so many wives. So we become inspired by that. Of course, the demons, they become inspired to fight Krishna by hearing this or by being there. After Rukmini was carried away by Shishupal, anyway, Shishupal wasn't great friends with Krishna anyway. In fact, he was extremely envious of Krishna even before that. But then he became, he actually had a reason to be envious of Krishna. That's gave him an excuse. Otherwise he was envious of Krishna anyway. So they became very envious of Krishna. And all the demons, they became more and more envious of Krishna. And all the devotees became more and more blissful, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. And so many wives, they wanted to, before they were married to Krishna, they wanted to marry Krishna just by hearing about him. Of course, Rukmini is famous for that. Jambavati, she couldn't have heard about Krishna because she was living in a cave. And even Jambavan, he'd been around since the time of Ramlila. And he was old even at the time of Ramlila. He's mentioned he's quite old at that time. He couldn't. He said, when they were going to, who's going to jump to Lanka? He said, yeah, well, in my youth, I went all around the universe. When Vaman was putting his leg up, I did a circumambulation of the whole universe. But nowadays I'm quite old, so I can jump to Lanka, but I'm not sure if I can jump back. So he was quite old even at that time. So he was fighting with Krishna in the cave for 1 month, non-stop, day and night, because in the cave you can't tell whether it's day or night anyway, can you? So he was fighting on and on and on. And then he realized, oh, this must be Rama. You're Rama, and I'm Krishna. Same, but, oh, so he didn't know, so she didn't know either. So she didn't know about the fame and glory. Satyabhama, she must have known about, because she was living in Dwaraka. She must have known about him, about Krishna. And others, by hearing about him, they knew about him before. Yamuna, she was performing austerities so that she could marry Krishna. So she knew about him. And we can know about his wonderful pastimes with all his various wives. To know about Radha, we really require the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even it wasn't that Radha wasn't unknown, but to manifest the full glories of Radha. Full glories means who are we? We're tiny little beings. What can we understand? But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna combined, we can enter into a little of that mystery of those pastimes, which he has revealed, and particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. We offer our respectful obeisances to Srila Rupa Goswami, who has manifested within this world the inner heart's desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami, through his dramas, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, he has revealed the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and so many other devotees in Vrindavan. And then he was going to write one drama of all Krishna Leela, but then someone came in his dream and told him not to. Who is that person? We already mentioned in this class. Anyone reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? It was Satyabhama, told him in a dream, you make a separate drama for me, for my... So, and that village is still there, Satyabhamapur, where Rupa Goswami had that dream as he was on his way to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he reveals the glories of Lakshmi, and who we also name Lakshmi, the Adi Lakshmi. Maybe some of you have heard that name, some of you are present here. Adi Lakshmi is Radha. I think you heard that name. Oh, okay. The next name is a very well-known name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have so many Shris in this series. Shrida, who gives Shri. Shrisha, Srinivasa, that's a very well-known. Srinidhi, Shri Vibhavana. So among all these names that I just said, Srinivasa is very well-known. And there's another name which is probably just as well known, which is Sridhara. You may say, well, Srinivas is more well known, but that's in South India. In North India, Sridhara is known more than Srinivas, although both names are well known. And Sridhara name is given both in North India and South India, but you won't find much in North India the name Srinivas, but Sridhara is given. So these are very well known names. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhara means literally to hold or to grasp, to support. So he who supports Sri Lakshmi Devi or Radha. Not really Radha, but you can't really say Lakshmi or Radha because they're the same. You can't really say Lakshmi and Radha. So what would you do? You could put Lakshmi forward stroke Radha if you're writing it, but you can't say it. I guess you can say Lakshmi forward stroke Radha. So, it's just a matter of perspective, that's all, because generally the devotees, especially here in South India, they are very much attached to the worship of Lakshmi Narayana. And we who are in the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Lakshmi Narayana, we prefer to worship as Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narasimha, Lakshmi Varaha, all these pasas. Yeah, I was saying in the name of Sri Vibhavana, how the Lord, his pastimes with his queens, there's also his pastimes Lakshmi with Narasimha, Lakshmi with Varaha, and very well known in this part of the world is his pastimes of Lakshmi with Srinivas, how she gets married to him. So Sridhara means he who holds Sri, means all opulence is in him, or concerning the personality Sri, he literally holds her. And we'll see that when the iconic depictions, that means the murtis or the pictures of Varaha Dev, he's holding there are different depictions, but shows him holding her as he brings her out of the ocean, the earth, who is also Sri. This Satyabhama, she's also the earth deity. So Sridhara, he holds, and that means all opulence. He holds, and he personally holds her. Just like a husband holds a wife. Now, in civilized culture, and it's still going on in India largely up to the present day, a man doesn't hold his wife in public. Even they started holding hands, and this, even that's not very popular still. It's considered very low class to do that in public. But the Supreme Lord is so kind. For him, everywhere is his home. All living beings are his children. So the husband at home, he may embrace the wife. And children may be there. Even in front of older children, you wouldn't do, but in front of very young children, they may do, because then they're not aware of all these things. So it's very intimate to know that he's holding on to her. But if he's not holding on to her, then, I mean, there's no question of him not holding on to her, but if he doesn't hold her, then everything else falls apart. Because everything is simply meant for his pleasure. Everything is meant for his pleasure, and his greatest pleasure is her. So if he doesn't hold her, then everything falls, then everything's chaotic. And that's why this whole material world is chaotic, because people they don't take pleasure in, or they don't want to see Lakshmi with Narayana. They want to enjoy Lakshmi separately, just like Ravana wanted to take away Sita from Rama. You can't actually do that. There's only a semblance of him doing that. But when they're joined they're always joined together, but when we see them together, or when we recognize that they're together, then everything becomes harmonized. The whole harmony of the universe comes. These ridiculous people who call themselves scientists, they say, well, you see, we see all the laws of nature, and there's no need for any God. It's just going on, all these laws of nature. But these, what laws of nature? That's all held together, that's because he is holding on to her, and she is holding on to him. By their happiness and their unity, Purusha and Prakriti, the Sankhya philosophers, they say that everything that's manifest is manifest by the combination of Purusha and Prakriti. That's true. But they don't know, they don't recognize that, they don't even want to recognize that. Purush means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prakriti means Sri Radha, Sri Lakshmi. Or they may say it's by Shiva and Shakti, Shiva and Parvati, which is better than being an atheist, but they didn't really get the whole picture right. Shiva and Parvati are also, in one sense, expansions or manifestations of Narayana and Lakshmi. So, they're together, they're always together. There are pastimes of separation. But as Krishna explained to the gopis, when they met him at Kurukshetra, he told them that actually we're never separated. It's only an appearance of separation, because there's no question that the gopis can ever stop thinking about Krishna. Yogeshvarai hridi vichintam agadha bodham. The gopis said to Krishna that the great yogis are always thinking of you very deeply within their hearts. And we're just housewives. But the gopis, they are the greatest yogis, because the yogi, those who are the best of the yogis, their attempt is always to think of Krishna. But the gopis, they never try to think of Krishna. They don't try to think of Krishna. It's just like we don't try to breathe. We just breathe, that's all. So they're always thinking of Krishna. And sometimes they even made a policy among themselves. Okay, let's stop thinking about Krishna. And they can't do it. It's just not possible for them. So they're always thinking of Krishna. They're always intensely joined with Krishna. And pastimes of separation are there just to increase that intensity. The first time Krishna went away from the gopis was in the Rasa Lila. They all came, they're all anxious to dance with Krishna, and all of a sudden Krishna just left them. And he said, what? Eventually he came back, and he said to him, what did you do that for? What kind of a person are you anyway? What kind of a person can be so ungrateful? We left everything, all our female pride of chastity and our families, and we're not like to be allowed back into our homes and you just left us. What kind of a person are you anyway? You're just so ungrateful. They hinted at this. And Krishna said, no, I just did it so that your attachment to me could become even more intense. So they're always, Radha and Krishna and the gopis and all the real devotees, they're always joined with Krishna. Real devotee means they don't come to Krishna, give me some money, give me some position, give me some name and fame. No, they only want to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So in this way they become blessed by Lakshmi. If you think someone, oh, if you say to someone, oh, he's blessed by Lakshmi, that means he's rich, isn't it? Oh, that's a misunderstanding. Well, he is blessed, but that's not the real blessing. That's just a kind of cheating whereby people think they're blessed. But the real blessing is if one has absolutely nothing in this world, nothing to aspire for, none, just no interest in this world whatsoever, because one is simply absorbed in thinking how to please the transcendental senses of Radha and Krishna as they come to. It may even not be a very major service. It may seem not like a very major service. It's just might be collecting flowers. They say, well, collecting flowers. So what? Anyone can do that. We don't pray. We praise some film star like Sridevi. Oh, she's a great film star. She could sing and dance, I guess. So she is very beautiful. And we praise Einstein because he's a great scientist. And praise Narendra Modi because he's a prime minister. And someone is picking flowers. You don't praise. And what is there to praise? Anyone can do that. But no, not everyone can pick flowers for Radha and Krishna. That is the being allowed to do that, to have entrance into doing that, that's not allowed even for great yogis and great scholars and great austere persons. Only with the special permission of the gopis themselves, of Radha herself, can one be allowed to enter into such an exalted service as to be allowed to cultivate flowers or just pick forest flowers which grow and pick them, and then someone else might string them into a garland, or someone else or yourself may make a bed of flowers for Radha and Krishna's pastimes, or make a pathway of flowers for them to go on. So they, by their coming together, the devotees, they always want to see Radha and Krishna united. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, Taha Bijoge Morane Jai. I can't exactly remember that. Taha De Sangyoge Ananda Kari Taha Bijoge. I can't remember. Dukete Mori, he says that when Radha and Krishna are joined together, I feel great happiness. And then when they're separated, then I almost die out of distress. That is the feeling of the devotee. So Radha and Krishna, they are eternally together. They're inseparable, just like the sun and the sunshine. The sunshine depend on the sun, and there's no meaning to the sun without the sunshine. So similarly, Radha and Krishna eternally exist. They're non-different. There's some difference, but they're inseparable. Some difference means there's the sun and the sunshine. Yeah, they are different, but they're inseparable. So in that sense, they're non-different. And there can be so many examples given, the sugar and sweetness. So in the same way, Radha and Krishna, they're eternally united in an innate and non-changeable or non-terminable relationship. A man in this world may join with a woman, but they will be separated, either by divorce or by fate or by death. They will be separated, but there's no question of separating Radha and Krishna. Sridhar means he who holds Sri, Lakshmi, and it also means she holds him. So they're holding on to each other. They're supporting each other. And maybe if you see from one perspective, you'll see he's holding her. If you see from another perspective, you'll see she's holding him. So it's an interminable discussion among the great devotees, who's actually holding who? Who's actually the most powerful? Some say Radha, some say Krishna, but actually they're holding each other, and they're the same entity anyway. So this discussion, who's the most powerful and strong, and who's the origin and all this, these discussions, they have no real philosophical meaning or practical meaning, but anyway, they're a source of great joy to the devotees as they argue with each other, and they may actually become very heated in their argument, but it's all a ananda chinmaya rasa. It's all a source of loving bliss for the devotees to discuss who is greater, Radha and Krishna. They're inseparable. Still, if we want to wade into that discussion a little bit, Shaktiman is the support of Shakti. So it's essential to understand this, that Krishna, he's all powerful, but he is not different from his power. We have to understand this. Otherwise, if we think, oh, God's all powerful, but you can't see him, touch him, taste him, smell him, feel him, just some energy. No, the energy is his energy. Just like the material, the atheistic so-called scientists say, well, everything is just nature. But where's the nature, how is that manifest? Or as Srila Prabhupada would say, whose nature? It's Krishna's nature. It's a simple point to understand. If there's Prakriti, there must be Purush. If there is nature, there must be the possessor of that nature. But people are so dull-headed, they can't understand this. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. Okay, but then where does the energy come from? That was Prabhupada's question. You say the scientists, they say everything is chemicals. Actually, the scientists, they're not even sure of themselves. There was a list of 150 questions of things that the scientists don't really know, and they're still investigating. The number one was, what is the universe made of? We don't know. So what are you doing studying all the... We know. We know from Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir apo nalo vayo kangma no buddhi revacha hankara iti yang me bhinna prakti rashtada. Aparayamitastranyang prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Krishna's separated material energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and the living beings. And it's all going on, maya dhakshena prakritihi. It all goes on under Krishna's supervision. So we understand, but they're not sure, because what makes up the universe? Is it energy, or is it atoms, or what the hell's going on? They don't know, and they'll never know until they gyane prayasam udapasyana manta eva, until they give up their attempt to know and realize they can't know anything and just become a little humbled. And jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam, and go on and dedicate their life to hearing from devotees about Krishna, and then they can know. Then they can know that anyway, you don't really need to know all this. You really need to know is that Krishna is behind everything, and you don't have to analyze every little boson and whatever you want to call it. It's anyway, it's there, you chant Hare Krishna. How it's there, why it's there, what it does, is it really there or not, it doesn't really make any difference. You don't waste your human form of life investigating all this. Instead, we should hear about Krishna from devotees. So Sridhara, he holds her, she's always on his chest. He has that mark on his chest, Srivatsa, the mark of Lakshmi. So he's the Krishna says, I'm the father of everything, so she's the supreme mother of everything. He himself, Sridhara, all great qualities automatically exist in him. He is the basis of all good qualities and bad qualities. Everything exists. They're all reposed in him. All great qualities. He holds, in that sense, all great qualities, although they're naturally with him. Just in this universe, the light, it's all manifest from the sun. So how much light is within the sun? So in the same way, all great qualities are held by him. And Sridhara, he holds, means he maintains, especially Sri. He holds up, holds everything in order. So especially Sri, he, just as a husband to a wife, he maintains the wife, protects the wife. So he holds up Radha and the gopis of Vrindavan and the queens of Dwarka and all the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. So, Hare Krishna.